Hello and welcome to another podcast right here at manxradio.com, taken from Mark Tiley in the Morning. It's another MyTunes guest.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
It's another week on MyTunes with me, Mark Tiley, and my guest this week, who is Chris Callow. Now, you might know Chris from his time in the legal profession. You might have been shown around some interesting corners of the Isle of Man by him. You might have been and stayed with him in France when he was running a chalet. In fact, there's so many things, so many dimensions to my guest this week. We're going to have to take it in bite-sized chunks. Chris, thank you.
Great pleasure. Looking forward to this.
And really, honestly, I don't know where to start because I've only just scratched the surface in the introduction. I suppose we really ought to start with you in the Isle of Man, St. Ninians, growing up here, surrounded by, I think I'm right in saying, quite a lot of jazz music.
Yeah, jazz music was very important to my father. He was a jazz player. He was a very good musician. A lot of the family have been musical. His mother and his grandmother were musical. But he trained at Jerby towards the end of the Second World War. And then he went away and worked his way around various airfields in the south of England as an aircraftsman. And I believe the reason for all those movements was he was very much in demand as a jazz player. And that's where he developed his love of jazz.
So he was playing what instrument at that time?
He was a pianist, but he played all sorts of instruments. I've seen pictures of him playing clarinet, and I think he also played cornet. So he could really turn his hand to anything.
And rather sadly, you lost him far too young.
Yes. Yeah, he died in 77. Yes, I was 17 years old, so that was a bit of a blow. But the one thing we have is his piano. It's a baby grand piano, which used to be used at the Aragon when Jeff Duke was running it as a nightclub. And when that place closed, Dad had played the piano and he managed to acquire it. I've still got the receipt. I think he paid £15 for this beautiful collared and collared baby grand piano. So that's come down to me. At the moment, it's on loan to Trinity Church, but it's too big for our current house. But it's a lovely instrument, and it's nice to have that reminder of him.
And that was where he would have hooked up with Jim Cain, I guess.
Absolutely,
at that time. Because I know Jim was playing down there for quite a while as
that's
well.
That's right, yeah. And they were school friends from early days at Murray's Road and continued the friendship right through their lives.
So was it the jazz side of piano that you carried on with, or were you doing more traditional lessons?
Yeah, absolutely not. I've tried, and I'm not a jazz player. Jazz is a lot about improvisation, and I'm not an improviser. So that's interesting. But piano I loved. I started piano, as everybody else did, at quite an early age, but I stuck with it. I had a really good teacher. Emily Christian was my teacher. I started lessons with my aunt, Mary Van Duke, who a lot of people will know, and she decided quite rapidly being taught by a relative was not a good idea. So she arranged for me to go to see Emily, and I carried on with Emily all the way through the grades, all the way through the guilds, and really enjoyed playing the piano. And then came back to it later in life when my children were starting to play instruments. It was nice to be able to accompany them.
And we'll talk a little bit more about your transition to the organ with the help of Gareth Moore a little later in the week. But let's have our first track. And what's it going to be?
Yeah, the first track's going to be Summertime, Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. I'm really thinking back to music that was being played in the home, and Mum and Dad, they were regularly playing soundtracks. They'd have LP soundtracks from shows, mainly jazz music, and this is one of the songs I remember particularly well, and followed through into our life. We had a CD quite early, I remember, of summer music, and this was one of the best numbers on the CD.
Thank you.
the cotton is high.
My Tunes on Manx Radio, and my guest all this week is without doubt one of the most multifaceted guests we've had on this series so far. Chris Callow, thank you for coming along.
Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. We talked about early days in the Isle of Man and your father and jazz music yesterday, but I think quite a lot of people will remember you in quite recent years for a regular blog in Manx Tales when you left the Isle of Man and set up in a ski resort.
It was a ski chalet. It was in a little village called Les Carreaux, which is halfway between Geneva and Chamonix in the French Alps.
Now, this came after 20 years at the bar, having got your law degree and working here in law on the Isle of Man. So we'll go back to law tomorrow, but why the change?
It was after 20 years of Manx practice. I'd enjoyed it very much, but I was starting to feel I needed a change, needed something different. And without any clear idea, I'd disposed of the legal practice and we were looking around for something else to do. Myself and my wife, we'd been keen skiers for quite a few years. We had a small apartment in Les Carreaux, and a chalet came up for rent. And I had a look at it and thought, well, yes, we could do something here. Spoke to Vanessa and sold the idea to her. And that season we opened it as a catered chalet. Initially, we went out for the winter season, which is the busy time in the French Alps. And then when we're coming back to the island for the summer, I did a couple of seasons back on the Manx Electric Railway, driving trams in that time. And I'm a great lover of railways, so that was great fun. But we found it quite dislocating, having half the year in one location, then half a year in another. So we took the decision to make it a permanent move to France at that time. We went to a new chalet, which we actually bought because we'd been renting the initial chalet. And we ended up spending 7 years there.
Summertime, did you take guests in the summer as well?
The winter is the big season and it's when you make your money to pay your bills. The summer you can have guests, but you can't charge the same sort of prices. But we did have a summer business. And throughout the whole business, we quite heavily marketed it as an Isle of Man experience, which is a bit strange. But it was called Manx Ski, and I would say about 70% of our guests came from the Isle of Man. And the blog you've mentioned was a big part of that, because that was publicising it on the island.
I can imagine, is there a bit of relief that you're not trying to run that in this current climate?
Yeah, we took the decision after 7 years that it was probably time to move out of that. It was getting more tricky because there was a lot more regulation coming in. When we started, you were really free to do very much what you wanted. But towards the end, the French authorities were starting to crack down a bit on foreigners working in the jurisdiction. The Swiss were making it quite tricky to transport your clients up from Geneva. So with all these things going on, we decided it was time to end. And now with hindsight, that was obviously a very sensible decision. We've got friends who are still operating chalets last year, and I know the outlook for them this year is very problematic.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough winter, a tough season all round. Let's have your second piece of music, sir.
This was the first that I chose. It was a dead easy choice. It's one of our favourite pieces of music. It's Mr. Blue Sky by Electric Light Orchestra. And it featured in a very big way in the chalet operation. We were something like 1,100 metres up the mountain and quite often shrouded in fog in the morning, and the clients would be quite reluctant to get out of bed. But we knew that another 300 feet up the mountain there'd be just glorious bright slopes with the sun out. And we used to play Mr. Blue Sky just to get them out of bed and get them motivated in the morning. And it's such an uplifting piece of music from the way it starts and all the way through.
Everybody smiles at you. My Tunes on Manx Radio, where we get a guest and normally we steer them through a fairly straightforward path. But with my guest this week, he's done so much and such variety, we're going to bounce around. We already have bounced around. We were in France yesterday. We were at St. Ninian's on Monday. And today we're coming back to the Isle of Man. 20 years in law, Chris. Where did you study for law?
So after school, I went away to university. Planned to go to Nottingham University, which is a brilliant law school. Didn't get quite the A-levels I needed, so ended up at 3 days' notice going to Cardiff. But that was a blessing in disguise, because there I met up with Jerry Carter.
You say a blessing in disguise. I mean, when Jerry did this particular, sat in that chair that you're in now, he told me that he just discovered an awful lot about beer during his time in Cardiff. I hope he didn't lead you astray.
There was a fair bit of brains bitter involved, but it was it was a tremendous life. I really enjoyed my time down there.
So Cardiff and Carter, my goodness me! I'm sure there's at least a couple of stories we can get to later, but maybe not too many. So how long was that?
So a 3-year degree course, pretty intense. When I look at degree courses these days and the amount of time students are actually spending being taught, it seems to have diminished an awful lot. We were full on with lectures, seminars, tutorials, and it was a hefty week.
And was it in your mind all the time that you would return here, or were you thinking, I'll go somewhere else?
I think I'd always had the view that I was going to come back to the island. There's law in the family. My uncle Henry, he was a high bailiff for many years, and at the end of his career he was Deemster. My godfather was Jack Corran, who was a Deemster, and they'd been very much involved when I was making decisions about what I was going to do. I didn't have a clear idea what I wanted to do, but I did think I was going to come back to the island, and then it happened very much by default. So I came back to the island in 1981 and went into articles in the firm of Callow & Fick. So I was articled to Mark Moroney and later to Colin Fick.
Now, is there a conversion process? Because obviously the nuances of law and legal practice here are significantly different in some areas than England or, say, Scotland. So how do you do that conversion?
Yeah, they've changed the system and tweaked it more recently, but at the time we did it, you had the ability of just doing articles, but most people went down the line of doing a law degree. So with a law degree, you could then do a reduced period of articles. So I did 3 years articles when I came back. And then at the end of that, you take your Manx Bar exams to enable you to practice.
That's something you have to do on top of what you did in Cardiff.
And that's still the case. A lawyer from off the island can't just walk onto the island and practice. He has to do the conversion, and he or she has to do the Manx Law Bar exams.
So 20 years working in court, fundamentally, or in offices? In chambers, I should say.
Very much a mixed practice. I had my own firm for most of that time. Thinking back on life, I'm not particularly employable. So I do my own thing, and I had my own firm for most of that time. And the business was regarded myself as a family lawyer in the way that you had a family lawyer in those days. It doesn't happen so much now. Nowadays, you're expected to specialise. But in those days, I did a great deal of conveyancing, probates, wills, that sort of thing. Also some crime and some domestic work.
Let's have today's piece of music. Where are we going?
This piece of music, again, has really chosen itself. Although I like this music, it's actually my wife's favourite piece of music. I married Vanessa in 1986 when I'd come back to the island, and we met on the hockey pitch. We were both hockey players, keen hockey players. And there's been a lot of changes in my life, but at each level as I've gone along, she's had a very big input into what happened. When I set up by myself, which was quite a big step to take, she was very supportive. She came along and worked for me, helped me develop the practice. And I owe very big debt to her, not just at that stage, but at every stage of my life. This piece of music that I've chosen is actually her favourite piece of music. It's Jump by Van Halen. She absolutely loves this, and it also sums her up very well. It's full of energy and reminds me of her inability to ever sit still.
of the great joys of doing this My Tunes thing is exploring people's lives and learning about what they've done. And my guest this week, Chris Callow, has done so much. We probably should have allocated 3 weeks to this, Chris, not 4 days, because today we're going to try and fit in making another change, history and heritage degree in 2015, becoming a Blue Badge tour guide here, singing in a choir and playing the organ. Where are we going to start with today?
So this comes in, coming back from France, 2014, yet again, not really sure where life was going, and far too young to retire. And I noticed an advert for a new course that the Isle of Man College was setting up, which was a degree course in history and heritage. And I've always had a massive interest in Manx history. I went to see the tutor who was running the course and ended up signing up for it. And that was a 3-year degree course in history and heritage. So it's quite an unusual course. It's not a pure history degree. It also deals with the heritage side, which is how museums run and how heritage organisations work.
So that's 3 years of your life, another course, and out you come at the end of it as a Blue Badge tour guide. Now, I didn't know we had our own Blue Badge tour guides here. I knew we had them across the UK.
Yes, there's a guild of Manx registered tour guides, and there's something like 20 guides around at the moment. Again, that was pretty accidental. It was because the first year module on the degree course was a course called Introduction to the Isle of Man. And that was also the first part of the training for the Blue Badge Guides. Because I'd done the module, I thought I may as well complete the second year of training for Blue Badge Guide, and it might lead into something after the degree. And it has, so that's marvellous. So I qualified as a Blue Badge Guide 3 years ago, and I've been building up a business which is called Island Heritage Tours, initially offering experiences to visitors to the island. But of course, with what's been going on recently, I've had to sort of reinvent that, and I've spent the last summer offering tours to island residents, and that's gone really well.
Now, there's a lot of history on this island. Are you given to certain areas? Do you have a specialism, or do you try and cover as much as possible?
So all the guides are expected to work with cruise ships when they call. So we take people out for the morning or for the afternoon, and we have to have a good background knowledge. But guides also have areas of specialism. One of my specialisms is taking people out for guided walks around some of the more scenic parts of the island. And this summer, I've had a very successful walk where I take people to visit Old Thaltons. And that ties in with another part of my life now, because I'm also a researcher where I deal with family history. So I've been able to look into the histories of the families that live in these old abandoned farms and build that into the tours to add a bit of interest.
At the beginning of the week, we talked about you playing the piano. Not the jazz piano, like Dad, but learning all the way through the grades, etc. And now you're transferring those skills to the organ. And in fact, you're already playing in St. Peter's Anglican Church in Onchan, but you want to get better, I understand.
That's right. So I'm having lessons at the moment with the excellent Gareth Moore, and slowly getting the hang of things. It started off just using the manuals, and now we've got onto the tricky subject of using the pedals. But that's going very well. We're planning to do grade 3 organ exam in February, so that's what I'm working towards at the moment. But I love playing the organ in church. I also sing. For many years I've sung in the church choir at Onchan, so it's quite nice to make the transition from the choir onto the organ bench.
And there's a concert. I think we should get the plug in February, is that right?
Yeah, again, singing. And it all ties in because from singing in St. Peter's Choir, when we went away to France, I then ended up singing in a choir in Geneva, in the English Church at Geneva. So I sang with the Holy Trinity Choir there. And then when we came back to the island, I joined, apart from singing at St. Peter's, I joined the Isle of Man Choral Society. The reason I wanted to sing in the Choral Society is they were performing Carl Jenkins' The Armed Man, which is one of our favourite pieces of music. And that was the first time that I'd sung in a really big choir, which is just an absolutely magnificent feeling.
Well, it's a full life, it's a varied life, and there's loads more to come, I can tell. Let's have the final piece of music.
I've chosen Changes by David Bowie. I listened to a lot of Bowie when I was younger, And when I was picking choices for this show, that's another one that leapt out, really, more in retrospect, because it has a lot to do with all the changes that have happened in my life, and it's a reflective piece of music. I love the piano in it, love the saxophone at the end, and it was only when I was looking at it that I realised that Rick Wakeman played the keyboards for the start of the piece.
He certainly does, and thank you for choosing it. Chris Callow, it's been a delight exploring the many facets of your life, and here's to many more.
I've really enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Not so sweet, so I turned myself to face me. But I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Change it,
turn and face the strain.
Change it, don't want to be a richer man. But never leave the stream of warm permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes,
turn and face the strange. Changes, don't tell them to grow up out of it. Changes,
turn and face the strange.
Changes, where's the shame you've left us up to her next event? Time may change me, but you can't twist time. Strange fascination, fascinating.
Thank you so much to Chris Callow, and thank you to you for joining us for another podcast here at manxradio.com with me, Mark Tiley. Keep coming back, as there are more going into the pot every day.